Cliffcentral.com. The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
Cliffcentral.com.
Welcome back to Future CEOs here on Cliff Central.
Louis Trez. Hey, Louis Trez.
You say it so well. I don't know how you do that. It must be your actress background or something.
So it's happening tonight, Gareth?
Yeah, there's this this big preview, and it's not really cool. It's not a preview. It's a showcasing of really what is a vault.
Wow.
Protecting the footage that they are, well, that of course John and Robert have put together with Louis. Say it. Very, 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 very good. Anyway, okay, that's that conversation. That's happening this evening. It really is a very exclusive event, but also quite exclusive, shall we call it that?
Of course, always.
Here in studio, we've got some very interesting individuals.
Heavyweights.
As we always do.
Yes.
If you are just joining us, you haven't heard the show before, if you can say to the question, are you a future CEO, is an absolute yes, well, then this is the show for you. What do we do here? Well, we're empowering you on your career, on your journey, as you are, you know, pushing for that corner office CEO status. Perhaps also you are starting you have started your own business or looking to grow it. We want to empower you with knowledge there as well. We're doing that in this half hour. What are we talking about, Libby?
You know what? I just think through all the situations that I've been in being a social entrepreneur, and you have a great idea and you want to have a great strategy, but at the end of the day, it just doesn't all seem to come together. And I think the topic that we actually want to explore this afternoon is, what is the gap between strategy formation and its execution? And not just execution, effective execution, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I hate this idea of, you know, you're going to strat sessions and you plan, there's breakaways, and then you go home and
then,
yeah, there's no real world execution. So we've got
the experts.
Experts in studio. Shall we get them to introduce
always
themselves?
The case.
I think we're going to have to go with the lady first, the Rose. Rose, please tell everyone who you are.
Hi, I'm Jules Newton, and I run Avocado Vision. I'm also a social entrepreneur.
Yes.
Fantastic. I sold Avocado Vision to BTS a couple of years ago, and I brought my BTS friends with me.
We see.
They're the real heavyweights.
We see. Thank you, Jules, for taking time out of your busy schedule. We know how busy you are. Trust us. Next up, should we introduce the president of Other Markets, in from Paris. So this is a real treat. Dr. Philios Andreou. Did I pronounce it you correctly?
Perfect.
Oh, very, very good. I'm glad you're here, Libby.
Please share with us who you are and why you are part of this conversation.
Thank you. So I'm Philios Andreou. I'm actually Greek Cypriot origin, but I've been living in Spain for quite a long time now.
Okay.
And I run Other Markets for BTS. So I'm in charge of all the emerging markets and some other European markets, and trying to help our customers there and how to execute on their strategies. So how to make real what they plan in the boardrooms.
Absolutely.
And so that's really what BTS is all about, isn't it, Dion? It's this idea of coming into a business, trying to help you to really just get it to function the way you plan for it to function, because businesses are run by smart people, but often there's not smart execution.
Nice, Gareth.
Yeah, thank you, Gareth. And just by a quick way of introduction, my name is Dion Kreling.
Yes.
I head up BTS in Africa and the Middle East. And to your point exactly, I think, you know, a lot of, let's say, senior leaders and boards have really good ideas. They have good information as to what they would like to achieve in the market.
Mm.
And, you know, then they often, you know, create a really nice PowerPoint presentation and a really good communication out to the rest of the organization.
Mm.
And people often don't know what to do with that.
Mm.
I think that's where a large portion of that gap starts, existing, is translating what is in the heads of the senior leaders and what does it mean to me in my daily work. So how do I start acting on that?
But we're not just talking from a theoretical perspective here. There's some really good research that you have been doing that it's also quite revealing. We were at the Gibbs Forum the other night, and
yes,
we're very lucky to see your presentation and see some of that research come out. What would you say is the standout item for you on that list of different items that you did find when you were interacting with these organizations?
I think the standout thing for me was really about the disconnect between what the CEOs and, you know, the board have as an idea and their belief in the organization's ability to actually do and execute against that.
Okay, so the belief in from a functional perspective, from a capacity perspective, that's what we're talking about?
Yeah, I think really from an organization's capability. And if you take that both from maybe from a social entrepreneurial perspective, is, you know, coming up with the idea is one thing, but then really figuring out what are the specific things that need to happen in the organization or in your business to make that become a reality. And on the one side, you know, it's really your idea, but then the actual hands-on capacity and capability to do what it is that you say you want to do. Mm. And as CEOs in large organizations, the ones that we interviewed as part of the study, is they over anticipated their organization's ability to do, to execute the strategy. The middle set of leadership, they were almost overwhelmed by what needed to be done. Mm. And then the people on the ground,
the staff,
we're obviously where the rubber hits the road.
Absolutely.
They want to change and they want to execute, but they often don't have the capability or the direction to do that.
Dr. Finneas, can you add on that from other markets?
Yeah, I mean, I think what we can do is look at like small and big business, right? Because I think that you can be a CEO on all types of business,
sure.
Right? And if you're a small business, you probably have your idea, you're close to the execution yourself. So basically the big trap for you is whether you can actually execute from a capability perspective. Are you able to actually do the things that you were thinking you needed to do, right? But when you run a kind of bigger business and you have more people, then the problem is not only the ability, it's also do they understand what you want to do.
Like the communication, really.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah, exactly. But it's a communication, is the understanding, it's do they believe in it.
The passion.
And the passion behind it. So there's a number of elements there that become more critical as the organization becomes bigger. So it's moving from purely having the ability to actually ensuring that everybody else really wants to follow you there, wants to put their hats to it, and they want to actually do the work for it.
Dion, I remember, and hopefully you can help me with this, Jules. I remember in that presentation at Gibbs, it was capabilities, and then you said mindset and alignment.
And alignment. Great.
Do you want to talk us through those things? And please add, Jules, alignment.
I need to give the boys a chance. And, you know,
but we need a woman's voice up in here. We need a woman's voice.
It will come.
She's giving us a head start.
They're doing fine. They're doing fine at the moment.
Dion, alignment, mindset.
Yeah, so I think when we look at execution and the ability to execute, there are basically three core components, at least at a people level, that you really need to develop in the business. The first one that we figured out with our clients is, you know, that alignment across the organization is critical. And alignment looks very different at different levels. So as the senior leaders, you know, you need to be very clear on what your strategy is and what makes you distinctive in the market. So and how do you, let's say, distinguish yourself against your competitors? As you travel down into subsequent layers of management, then it becomes a question of, do people understand that in the same way? So if we say we're going to be a customer-centric organization, what does that mean?
What does it translate into?
Well, yeah, exactly. What does it mean? And what does it mean for my customers? And what does it mean for my people? And how should they act? And then let's say the bottom layer of that alignment then is also making sure that people understand where and how they contribute to the overall success. Because if you can start understanding the purpose of your job, then it becomes the difference between, you know, am I laying a brick or building a cathedral or building a mosque? I have a very different purpose for what it is that I do every day. So that was the one piece around the alignment. The mindset piece is then, you know, is do I believe in it? I could be very well aligned, I understand where you're going, but do you get my discretionary effort? Do you get my 150%? You know, I wake up in the morning and I can't believe I get paid for doing the job that I do. You know, so mindset is a critical part component of that. And the third piece then is around capability. Do you actually have the skill set to do that? And I think what's been interesting around a lot of the work that Jules and them have been doing on the Avo side is about building that capability at a grassroots level for entrepreneurs and really setting up enterprises at an absolutely, you know, fundamental level and empowering CEOs that they think about that as a start in their business. Mm. Julie, I don't know if you want to pick that up a little bit.
Yeah, I also think it's an important thing to realize that you've got two very different elements whenever you're leading a business, whatever the size is. You've got your business decision making, so your sort of business acumen, your understanding, you understand what your strategy is, and you've got to make sure that either as the individual who's running a smallish organization or managers across huge organizations, every one of their business decisions needs to be aligned to the strategy and the goals of the organization. And if they don't understand that properly, then already the sort of the strategy is lost in translation. But the other side of it is that every single business decision needs people
absolutely
to actually execute
yes
it. And I think that that's one of your key capabilities is, are you able to make good decisions? Are you able to bring the people with you? And they've got to be able to buy in. They've got to be able to deliver. They've got to be able to feedback when they're struggling. And all of those sort of people stuff. I like to think of
I love the people stuff.
Yeah. If you think of it as a set of spectacles, you're always looking at your work through two glasses.
Okay.
And the one needs to be your business acumen, decision-making aligned to strategy all the time. The other one needs to be, how are you leading the people?
Mm.
And these are part of your toolkit. And if you're not working both of those all the time, you're not running a successful operation.
Dr. Phyllis, let's mm-hmm. talk a little bit more about the culture of the people being everything. Well, to me, they are obviously the most important asset of any business. How important is the culture of the company towards the execution of strategies?
Well, it's extremely important. I think building the right culture is probably one of the top aims of a CEO in any company.
And right? Culture being individuals, can you elaborate? Just dig a bit deeper there, Dr.
Culture is, one nice phrase would be, culture is what someone does when nobody's looking, right? Mm. So it's how you do things. It's how you do things on your day to day, on your how you approach customers, how you approach your work. All this fits into a culture, and we need a common culture in organizations. So that's one of the aims. How do you build a common culture? And you need the right culture, right? And right culture meaning has to be aligned as to what you want to do as an organization and what the leaders believe. No, and I think that it's hugely important, and we see more and more organizations wanting to invest in creating the right culture, because it's not something that we don't believe in this. Either you have it or you don't.
Mm.
It's something you work on. So therefore, it's all about, are you prepared to really invest in it? Are you prepared to make efforts to have the right culture?
I like that comment, because there's a culture there no matter what. You can't run away from it. Here in Cliff Central, there's a culture, a certain way of doing things. But that's the key word, doing. So I heard something once where they were just a little critical of people that come in, these culture consultants. They'll come in, they try to rejig things, rework things, and try and make the organization fun or dynamic in certain kinds of ways, trying to make it a Google or whatever it is, whatever the they want there. But what they miss is the doing side.
Yeah.
And really at the heart of all culture actually is performance. It's about, you may be behaving in a certain way, but are you performing while you're behaving in this way? And
behavior,
I think that's a key component of it. Let me just, Jules, I see you nodding.
There's another layer of culture when you start thinking about leadership practices within an organization. And I think that's become one of our defining insights in the way that we work with organizations is, if you think about the way that we've always done things, when we've been developing leadership, and when I'm talking leadership, I'm talking about how are you moving the people and how are you making good decisions. It's both of those things. And when you're building leadership within an organization, well, let's think about the other things, the culture, the value proposition, the sort of marketing, the target, the particular customers that you're doing stuff on, your unique pricing. You spend a huge amount of money getting that stuff right. And then you go and do generic leadership development. It doesn't make sense. You actually need to start thinking about how you're building the leaders within your organizations in a way that sets them up for success within your culture, within your business. My favorite example in South Africa is, if imagine if we had a Capitec branch manager and a Nedbank branch manager swap jobs. Neither of them are set up to succeed, even though they're actually competing in exactly the same market. But they will not be well set up to compete, to operate in each other's spaces. And that's then you know that they're actually building leaders for their particular organization to win and do in the way that that organization is wanting to set things up. So I think it's quite key that we start shaking ourselves up about this illogical thing that we do where we build our leaders generically while we are so customized with everything else. And I think that's a lot of the work that we bring to organizations.
And innovation is a big part of that, Jules. Yes?
Absolutely. Innovation within an organization is about how we win in that space.
And it's and you never want to be a copycat.
And you're bringing your unique culture and your unique how you do things to how you solve things because you understand your customer in a unique and special way.
I guess innovation then is the product of versus the cause the root of a culture or, so, or that kind of thinking. I mean, is that accurate? Am I saying it? Am I saying it right? Okay, I'm getting the signal.
Stop now.
Okay. Okay, yeah,
Dion, would you like to add anything to help innovation?
Please.
I'd guess innovation is that we often try and package innovation into a department. So the product guys or the innovation guys or the marketing guys or the innovation guys, because they're the free thinking, guys that are sitting on the, working free hours and doing whatever it is that they do. But, innovation happens in every part of the organization. And as leaders and managers, we can either create moments and opportunities for people to create innovative thinking and innovative leadership where we encourage it, or we squash it as part of our leadership practices. And that also becomes part of the culture. So, as any organization, do you encourage people to think outside of the box within the frameworks that they work in? So if you're someone who's working in the back end of an operations center, even within that environment, you could be innovative. Are you helping improve the processes? Are you helping deliver a better quality solution? So we tend to package this innovation thing as something that, is in the world of Google and Apple. And not something that can happen at every layer in the organization.
That's exactly what I said.
I'm sure it sounded like that.
She's finished.
Okay, fine. Let me return back to this conversation. Dr. Phileas, there are going to be individuals out there who are saying, well, here in South Africa, we do things this way, but then in other markets, certainly in other emerging markets, they may do it differently, and we mustn't copy them or we mustn't bring things across. We must just local is lacquer, as they say here. Just give us a little bit of insight what you're finding across these different markets and how it can relate to us here in South Africa.
Okay, thank you. I think that a lot of the global, the globality of the world right now brings us that we have a lot of common problems. So what we observe in many emerging markets are basically some of the same trends. Organizations that understand that investing in their strategy is important, but finding out that executing is key. So that's common across. You can find that in Asia, you can find that in Latin America, you can see it in Africa. Second trend is that there's a little bit of overinvestment in the first part than the second part. So lots of companies, they spend lots of time in thinking through the strategy, in planning it well, but then they run out of time or money in actually doing something about execution. That's another trend we see. And in mature markets, I would say they've actually found that solution. They know that they need to invest enough more sometimes than the planning side. And I think in emerging markets, we are still struggling with it. We are still, prioritizing whatever we need to do before than doing the after, thinking that this whole thing in that still the command and control situation would work, meaning, I'm the boss, I'll tell them what to do, they'll do it. And we see more and more situations where this is not happening. So I think one of the trends we'll see in emerging markets, and we're starting seeing it, is more and more companies putting more effort, time and money in making sure that execution works, because their results is going to depend on that.
No. Jules, I'm going to put you on the spot here. There must have been a time, on your journey, where you were making this mistake. Yes?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, let me count the ways. Yes.
Okay.
She still makes them.
I'm so so pleased I have him to help me. Yeah.
You know. No, he's just put a goal in there for the boys, that's all. So just talk us through maybe one or two memorable, maybe for the wrong reasons, but memorable situations or scenarios that you can just give us an idea of, or our listeners an idea of how this actually happens in real terms, real life.
Can I just start? I think something that just comes clearly to me is that sometimes I think you have to be or have integrity to say that maybe I'm not the person or the CEO or the executive for the job. Maybe I can't actually deliver on what's expected of me. And I think that is just transparency. And I can understand people at high levels doing that and behaving like that. Yes or no, team?
Well, I think everybody tries to, you know, make themselves look and feel fantastic out there. It's quite hard to actually have the vulnerable conversation that says, I don't think I'm the right person here.
Okay.
And I think, if I think about my 20 years of building a business from a one-man show to quite a few folk, I think my own assessment of my own capability was probably always a year or two behind what it needed to be. So luckily for me, I often had clever people who would help me figure out that I was heading for a wall that I didn't even see because my own business acumen didn't necessarily match up to to the challenge of the company I was running. I've seen more with women entrepreneurs than men entrepreneurs. The ability to kind of go, I'm struggling with this one, help me. Help me think through it.
Oh, it's because men are proud. I mean, if we being real about it, I think there's a level of pride and a level of I can do it no matter what. Maybe a command and control, as we were talking about earlier, that's there.
Yeah, I mean, I still have my very big share of ego, as many women who've built businesses like I have do. So, you know, I will have piles of blind spots as well. Building an executive team who are prepared to work and give feedback and be quite robust in the way that they debate those things will probably make your organization stronger, but it's a lot scarier to do as the person running the organization. It's not nice to field feedback and criticism all the time. I've been very lucky to be surrounded by those kinds of people my whole life, so they've helped me from crashing into those walls when just before it happened.
I think we have a saying in our organization that says that if you're constantly finding yourself to be the smartest person in the room, then you're probably in the wrong room.
Yeah.
We know that quite a lot of CEOs.
Very nice. Yes. Especially if you're the leader of the organization. Yes. Then you've got a real problem.
Yes.
Very nice.
A client of mine had a very interesting way of communicating the exact same messages. And he's a sales leader in one of the big banks. And his example is simply that, you know, that if when you start off your role as, for example, in sales, and you're selling a product, and you can be the best salesperson, at some point you get promoted to maybe a sales supervisor, and you now have a team of people. And the skill that you need at that level to motivate your team, get them performing, etc., you know, you can have a very hands-on approach. As you become, for example, maybe the sales manager, and now you have a team of sales supervisors who are running a team of salespeople, the skills that you suddenly now require to be to manage and organize and control is very different. And then when you move up into the sales director role, once again, you have to learn a new set of skills, which means you have to. You can't control 200 salespeople. You can't, be out there on the front line and rah 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 and get them going. What you have to be able to do is set up processes and systems that get those people to do those things. And in each of those levels, it requires a transition in your ability as a leader to do that.
Yes.
And there you need the coaching, the guidance, the training. In order to be able to make those transitions.
Yeah, so Mark Cutifani, and we say this so often, shared with us that, of course, leadership and by implication business is all about people. And so when you get to a senior role, you actually are just dealing with people, and those are the problems and some of the issues that you're going to have on an ongoing basis. Why? Because there's a smarter technical person in the room, or there should be, absolutely, as we've just mentioned, but you need to know how to manage that individual, how to deal with that individual. And so thank you, Mark Cutifani.
Dr. Phyllis, okay, so tell me your thoughts about this. You can never have enough communication, and communicate early to avoid resistance to change. People can be your biggest risk if there is no resistance to change. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that the resistance to change is something that we see more and more in organizations. Actually, many studies have been done, and the number one factor of failure of execution is resistance to change.
Okay.
No? And the reason people resist could be various. It could be because they don't understand the change. It could be because they understand it, but they don't agree with it. It could be. It could actually be very valid reasons. So there's a change and it actually affects me negatively. So as a person, I'm bound to resist. So therefore, from an organization perspective, what we need to do is try to prevent that resistance and prevent it by communicating, by helping people understand. Many times from, you know, if you think about any change you're doing, you're probably thinking it through in your mind, you're reading information, you're discussing it with others. So then there's a moment in time that you're making a decision. And then in that decision, you're affecting others. But those others haven't gone through the same thought process that you have, right? So what they're seeing is suddenly a decision which comes out of kind of nowhere to tell them to do something different.
Correct.
Yeah, and they're thinking, why should I do
that? Correct. So you've got to understand the why. People want to know why.
There's three questions you need to make people understand. You need to understand the why.
Yes.
That's important.
Yes.
You need to understand the what, meaning, okay, yeah, I get it. We need to change, but so where do we need to go? What's the what? What do we need to achieve? So you need to get the why. You need to know the what,
and then
the how.
The how, yeah.
Right? How do I get there? Because it's all nice to tell me that we're not getting somewhere. We need to change. It's good to have a vision of the future. But if I don't understand how to get there, I'm going to be frustrated in the process.
I really like that. So really what I hear you saying is that we actually must be having three conversations with our people, not just one. And how many of us have one conversation? Well, this is one conversation that we hope will be one
back.
Of many.
Yes.
Maybe a final thought or feeling here?
I think people need to understand how they're impacted and make it personal.
Make it personal. Very, very, very nice.
Happy. Is
everyone happy with that?
We have to, because our payoff line as BTS is strategy made personal. So thank you for that.
Very, very, very nice. Okay, so on that note, that's future CEOs for this week.
Thank you. Thank you, esteemed and established experts in studio today.
Thank you very, very much. We'll see you all same time, same place next week, Luby. You're looking lovely, and I hope you're looking lovely next week as well.
And tonight.
And tonight.
This is CliffCentral.com. Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com.
Cliff Central. The revolution. I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com.